Hi everyone, I'm Daniel and I'm here presenting SpikeWell. So SpikeWell is a tool written in Python to query data. It uses a language which is a mix of SQL with Python to create a very intuitive way to query data. So let's start with an example here right now in the title slide, where I'm importing the GetPass model to get the shell username. I'm using the date model to get the today date, and I'm putting this data into JSON format and piping it to JQ to give it some color. So I can pipe it to other tools like YQ to get the YAML, or I can change directly in SpikeWell the output to CSV, so I can get a CSV format. I can actually generate insert statements that I can pipe into a database directly from the data. So this is great for importing JSON files or CSV files to your database, or even to create very simple pipes where, for instance, you're reading from Kafka and writing in the database. And finally, you can output pretty printing, which is easy for you to read. So let's get a little bit more fancy and let's try to get the title from the FOSDEM page, the event page. So I'm using HTTP to get the HTML, then piping this into pub to extract the title from the HTML, and then I'm passing this to a query very similar to the one before, but where I'm reading from text, so I'm reading text lines, and I'm getting the first and only column, which is the title, which is what you're seeing here. So I could do exactly the same thing, moving the part that I'm doing in command line to Python. So here I'm using the PyQuery module to download and extract the title from the web page. So it's really up to you. If you use it depends if you are more of a shell user or a Python user. Also, in some cases, doing it on the Python or doing it on using command line will be easier. But basically, what I'm trying to say here, and we are finally getting to the subtitle of the presentation, which is making command line data processing more intuitive, readable, and powerful. So powerful because we are really tying together the shell and Python. So there are not all program Python. It's sometimes difficult to write one-liners in Python. And this makes it easier and readable and intuitive because we are mixing two very popular and readable languages, which are Python and SQL. To make it easy to express operations on top of data. And SpikeWell is, and this is one of the main characteristics, one of the main properties of SpikeWell is that it's data driven. So this means that it supports several data formats. For instance, when you are reading CSVs, it does a lot of stuff for you, like detecting if there is a header, and if there's a header, you can call the column names by their name. It detects the dialect. It also detects the data type of the column and ultimately typecasts. And for instance, on the output side, in addition to support several different formats, the support of SQL inserts that allow you to inject data into databases is also a feature that you don't see much on this kind of tools. And we'll talk about the SPI format later. So being data-driven also means that we need to handle missing data. And we introduced a new type which tries not to break the execution. So you don't want when there's something missing, when there's a data column missing, you don't want to the program to break the query to break the processing. So you want to, when you do arithmetic, that if there is a missing value, the result will be null. If you are trying to convert something, some string that is not a number, you'll get null and instead of exception. If you try to get a key from a dictionary that doesn't exist, you'll get null instead of an exception. And actually, we introduced some syntax sugar to make it easier to write your queries. We do a lot of dictionary lookups, as you'll see, especially working with JSONs. So we had this kind of syntax sugar to make it easier. And if you go to, if you use nested dictionaries, like you do it in Python, where you have a hierarchy, you also want this kind of access not to break your code. Again, being data-driven also means that you have data context when there's an error. And it's very frustrating when you're working, analyzing data, and the code breaks. You know where the problem is in your code, but you don't know what the problem is in your data. So here's a very simple example where we are getting a float division by zero exception. But SpikeWell tells you what data role that the error occurred, so that you can match the data and you see what's the issue here and what do you need to do to fix it. So finally, being data driven also means having a small memory footprint. So they, unlike other slides that load everything into a SQLite database or load everything into memory, like the pandas module, SpikeWell loads one line at a time, and it tries to write the output as soon as possible. So this is also very useful when streaming. So we try to have a small memory footprint so that you can tackle large data. Finally, SpikeWell is shell friendly, which means it reads from the standard input, writes to the standard output. All queries or programs are one-liners, which are great for writing directly in the command line. And the order of the rows are respected. So there is this guarantee that you usually don't have, for instance, in SQL databases, where there is a natural order, which is the order of the rows in the file or other data source, which is respected if you don't change it in your query. So let's go to a use case where we want to do something called some very simple thing in a data set of book reviews. So here's a line. We will look into the overall, which is basically the score of the review and the reviewer name and the review text. So let's try to compare some solutions. So first, a Python pure solution. Let's go to that using the standard library, where we are creating a JSON decoder to avoid some overhead in the following generator, and then we use a generator for reading lines from the standard input, decoding each line, extracting the overall, which is the score of the review, so then we can calculate an average of all reviews. So this is the goal, calculating an average of all reviews. We can do this with pandas, and we read the JSON from the standard input. We have to specify JSON lines, get the overall, calculate the mean. So also very straightforward. So JQ is the most popular JSON querying command line tool. And here we are creating an array where we put all the overall inputs, and then we add them up and divide it by the number of elements to get the average. And finally, the SpikeWell solution, where we do an average of the JSON overall field, and that's it. You'll see that, unlike SQL, we have a suffix add to all aggregators, aggregating functions, so that we avoid collisions with Python. For instance, the sum in Python is using for summing over an iterator, while here, so here we'll use sum AGG to calculate a sum. So let's take a look at the performance. So Python, pure Python solution, it's pretty much faster than the pandas solution. And JQ and SpikeWell are head-to-head. taking about 2 times the Python pure Python solution regarding memory overhead. So Pandas is using huge amount of memory, so almost 4 gigabytes for handling 700 megabytes of text data. It's not really being very efficient here. While the Python 3 solution and JQ, they have some footprint because they load all the overall scores into memory. The SpikeWell has the lowest footprint because it doesn't load them all into memory. It calculates the average as we go. Now, I converted this file to CSV, and now let's see what changes when we go to CSV files. So in the pure Python, the same kind of approach, but we needed to change the model. Instead of JSON, we go to the CSV model, and we have to typecast the columns because they are read as text. In the Pandas solution, we could have a very similar approach, but I choose to only read the overall column and squeeze it to produce a series instead of a data frame, and use the CE engine to try to extract the most performance of Pandas. In the command line tool, awk is the most popular application to handle text limited data. So we extract, we drop the header, so the first line, because awk doesn't handle them. And then we had to use a different CSV where there was a field separator that was actually unique, because awk also has some troubles dealing with quotes. And so it's summing and dividing by the number of registries. And finally, the SpikeWell solution is pretty much the same as before, just changing from JSON to CSV. And performance-wise, actually the Python 3 pure solution with CSVs was slower. But on the other hand, the Pandas really kicked in and had a great performance, the best performance here. The awk solution was somehow disappointing. Usually it is like 2 to 3 times more efficient than SpikeWell or even a Python solution, but here for some reason it didn't perform as well. And the SpikeWell solution was practically the same. And if you compare it with a Python, you see that it doesn't have a lot of overhead over it. Memory-wise, Pandas continues to be the more memory-hungry approach. And then, of course, the command line approach is the best in memory footprint, with near 1 megabyte only, 15 megabytes for SpikeWell, 50 for Python, and 150 for Pandas. So let's now try to develop a little bit more and try to extract a different kind of metrics and a different kind of aggregation. So let's try to get the top 5 reviewers. So we will group by the reviewer name. We will count the number of reviews each reviewer did, and we calculate the average score per reviewer and the average length of the review itself. Here we are converting the review to an empty string in case if the review is missing, and then averaging the length. So as you see, it's all very readable, very intuitive. And if you know SQL, this will come pretty natural to you without having to think much on the solution, which is pretty much the goal here. So we are grouping by the reviewer name, then ordering by the number of reviews in descending order, and limit to the top 5 reviews. And so we'll get the highest reviewer here. If you go to JSON, the query is practically the same, but we are working with a dictionary instead of working directly with the column names. Now, if you go to JQ, for instance, you see that it's not so intuitive to write, it's not so intuitive to read the solution. I would love to go through the reasoning, but there's really not much more time, but we can do it offline. And if we go through awk, then I had to have really some trouble choosing the right field separators, but basically you are accumulating accumulating the variables. You don't have the header names, so in terms of readability, you don't really know what's the eighth column. We know that's the name of the reviewer, but you get to work with indexes of the columns. And then because awk doesn't support sorting and so forth, you have to go to other command line tools, and which are great. The implementation is super powerful. It takes advantage of the disk, so you don't use a lot of memory. But then it's again not very readable, and especially it may take a while to write it. You need to go to the manual a couple of times to get this right. But SpikeWell is not just for querying data. You can do more stuff, like trying to automate some tasks. And here we are going to a Kubernetes deployments, and we are getting the pods, and we will try to scale down these pods, so like deactivating these pods. So I'm getting the JSON here with information about the pods. Then I'm using GQ to ensure that we only have one one JSON per line, which is the format SpikeWell likes, and we could end the JQ role by here and leave the rest to SpikeWell, but it's so straightforward and clean to get the data that we need that I'll just use JQ for this. So we are getting the items, it's an array, so we are exploring it, getting the metadata and the labels. All operations are also supported in SpikeWell, but since we are already using it for putting one JSON per line, let's do the rest here also. And then we are using SpikeWell to import the OS model and print the application, and then execute a command which will scale the deployment, putting the number of replicas to zero, where you are passing the application, and we are printing the execution status. So if everything went well, you'll get a zero here. And that's it. We can do some filters, like leaving out the lines where the application is not defined, and for instance filtering just the ones that we want. For instance, if we want to turn off the data pipes, we can do something like this. So one last thing that I wanted to talk to you about is the concept of partial aggregations. Partial aggregations are known in SQL as analytical or window functions, and basically here we have a different approach to handle them. So let's first look at a typical aggregation. So you have these three numbers as input. So in SpikeWell, the from clause can also be a Python expression, so an iterator or a list or whatever you want. And summing these three numbers, it's okay, it's pretty straightforward. But if you add this partials modifier to your select statement, and this is not standard SQL, this is something we added to SpikeWell, because in SpikeWell we respect the order of the input, so we know what the input is, and so we can consider that to be a window. And so what this partials does is printing a partial aggregation for each row. So instead of having a single row of output, we'll have a row for the first line, a row for the second row, and another one for the third, with the cumulative sum of the value that we are reading. So it gets pretty easy to go from aggregations to cumulatives or partial aggregations. And this is especially handy when you're dealing with streaming data. So now let's take advantage of these partial aggregates to calculate some statistics about a Kafka stream. So I'm reading with Kafka Cat, or KiCat, I think it's the new version, from a broker and a given topic. Then I'm actually not doing anything with the data that comes here. I'm only generating a timestamp with a time model. We could have here some fields if we want to calculate some aggregations with it, but here we are focusing just on getting timestamps so that we can have some performance of the Kafka reading operation. So this timestamp is going to be written in the SPI format. And this SPI format, basically, it's a format that is made of JSON objects. So you can pass JSON objects from one SPI query to the next, which makes very efficient for piping several queries. And so what are we doing here? So select partial. So we are subtracting the current timestamp to the first one so that we can know how much time has elapsed. We are subtracting the current timestamp to the previous row or the previous message timestamp so that we can calculate the rate of message per second. And then we are doing the same thing, but subtracting the current timestamp to the timestamp of three rows ago to get average for the last three messages. And finally, we are counting how many messages we are reading from SPI to JSON. And basically, this is it. So with this number of messages, we didn't get to the 1 millisecond because we are really writing a lot of message per second. But you see how easy it is to get some streaming aggregations from Kafka or the streaming source. So, and this is it. So I hope you have enjoyed the presentation, but especially hope that you have enjoyed Spike well. So please visit the repo. You'll find there a lot more recipes for doing several different stuff, combining the command line with Python in very different ways. If you want to help, please give me a ping. Here is my email. So I love to have more critical mass, another pair of hands to help bring Python, to bring Spikewell to the next level. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Yes, so I'm going to read them aloud. So most avoided question is that the syntax of SPIQL change depending on the input sources. What are the limitations to provide unified syntax?
So basically, when you're reading a JSON, you have a single column, which is a dictionary. And if you're reading a CSV,